I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We are celebrating 20 years in business and just entering our seventh year of doing this program. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have a new 2014 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on our publication events tab. And please feel free to browse through that at any time. Plus, we have a brand new book, Cracking the Business Code. Majid has an entire chapter in there. Part of the chapter is on the topic we're going to be discussing today. And that book is available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. Lighthouse has really been growing very rapidly over the past 36 months, and you can read more about us on our website. Our topic today is small data, big data, and right data. Take advantage of your data. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, to bring effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding for success, leadership training for the 21st century, exploring global options for expanding your business, sales and customer service training, and operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps from getting stuck in shallow water so our clients have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various issues that most organizations are facing today. And that's exactly how this topic came about today, was from clients requesting this information. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. So during the program, you may want to write down two or three questions to either send in during the program or to ask once we open the line up. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you'll want to consider and implement with your team and to discuss with your trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Majid Abai, the founder and CEO of the Abai Group, Inc. His focus is on cutting-edge technologies, including big data, mobile enterprise, SaaS, cloud computing, and cloud sourcing and funding, combined with his executive leadership skills around new markets, turnarounds, rapid growth, global expansion, fundraising, and M&A, has delivered measurable results to the companies that he's worked with and founded. For the past 30 years, Majid has successfully founded and led several public and private U.S. and global organizations, and has been a member of fiduciary and advisory boards for several for-profit and nonprofit organizations, as well as a member of the Tech Angels, the largest angel investment group based in Southern California. Majid is an active member of Vistage and is a full-fledged speaker to CEO groups across the country within the United States. He has also co-authored a book called Data Strategy, and as I mentioned earlier, has an entire chapter in our new book, Cracking the Business Code. He has been an adjunct professor for computer science at UCLA for over 9 years and is frequently invited to provide a number of national and international lectures. And I believe you mentioned earlier you're going to be back east doing a couple talks to very large associations later this year. He also has a bachelor's degree in computer science with a minor in management. I feel privileged to have Majid with us today once again on our program to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be Beyond the 401k, Enhance Your Retirement program and reduce your tax burden. Dan Kravitz will be our guest, and those of you who know that world, Dan's one of the cutting-edge leaders in that industry. Majid, I want to welcome you back to our program, and also I want to welcome folks that are attending from all over the world today. We have guests literally spread all over. We'll be listening to this in several very large associations too. So welcome everybody, and Majid, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and hello to everybody, and thank you for taking the time and joining this conversation today. Today we're going to be focused on a completely non-technical discussion about big data and information in general. And usually when you hear big data, you hear a lot of technological talks and there is a lot of tech behind it. But we want to approach it truly from a business standpoint today and see how business can really take advantage of data. And our discussions today will be that big data is just not about big data. It is about all different kinds of data that you have. So we started to call it relevant and right data for the organization. We are truly right now in midst of an information age, and we are utilizing information in all different ways to take advantage of the circumstances and really push our businesses forward. And this information is really helping us make better decisions than we did just a few years ago. So having said that, I'm going to move on to the next slide and essentially read a quote that has come from Peter Sundergaard of Gartner. And I think this is one of the best quotes that I've seen in a long time associated with information. And it essentially says that information is the oil of the 21st century and analytics is the combustion engine. So the key for us is that a number of us utilizing the data in our organization, we are really sitting on a gold mine or an oil well. And for us, we really, really need to be utilizing this information and use analytics that are associated with this information to make better decisions and open this gold mine for better use of our company. Moving on, big data is confusing. Let's get it out of the way and really have that conversation about it. There's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of talk. There are not many people who really know what big data is and what it's supposed to do. There's a lot of people who are claiming that they are taking advantage of it. There are extremely large number of definitions even that have been given to big data, and a number of them are confusing. So here I will take you to another quote that I've seen, and I'll let you all read it yourselves. I won't comment. I'm having an issue seeing this slide. Are you all seeing this slide?
We're good.
Okay.
I'm going to read it because we have a number of people that are listening today that are not on their computer. That's okay. Big data is like teenage sex. Everyone talks about it. Nobody really knows how to do it. Everybody thinks everyone else is doing it, so everyone claims they're doing it.
That's a great quote that I saw from a fantastic gentleman named Dan Ariely, and I've used it in my big data thought. So as I mentioned, there is a number of definitions. In my last research, I have found at least 15. So eventually, I've decided that to come up with my own to make it just one additional and make it really simple. To me, big data is the analysis of a collection of massive data stored to gain competitive advantage or insight. So, and if you notice, I have put massive into brackets, and there is a reason for that. To me, it doesn't have to be massive. Massive is a relative term, and we could really utilize it as SMBs. They have access to smaller versions of data, And for us, in for some of us who are in bigger companies, then there's just larger amounts of data to touch. So massive is omittable from this level of discussion. I would like to say that when we talk data and when we talk data stores, we are talking data that is either structured, which means it is sitting in one of your databases, or it could be unstructured, which means that it is located in your videos, audios, photos, and or sitting in some sort of a social media outside where you can gain access to. So it could be completely unstructured. It could also be within your organization, or it could be outside of your organization. So some of the information that you have access to today are really not sitting within your organization, and that's a major change that we have seen within the past 10 years. And the key here is to find these actionable data. The key here is that what are the things that we can find by analyzing this data stores in order for us to make better decisions associated with our company and make a very actionable move towards that. So let me expand a little bit about what we call our data sources. As I mentioned, a number of our data sources are internal. Oh, I went one ahead. These internal data sources are either transactional databases that you have, whether you're within your ERP or CRMs or spreadsheets even within your organization, email, your weblog, your connection, and depending on the type of business you have, there is a large amount of information that you're holding within your organization just simply by the transactions that you have had. They are external to your organization, so information related to your company on social media, postings that your clients are making about your business or your brand on Yelp, audio files of photos and videos that are circulated whether by your PR organization, by yourselves, or just by your clients utilizing your brand outside. And then there's a third category, and the third category is the list of public information or private databases that you can buy and have access to make better decisions. So there is Census Bureau's information, there is governmental databases that one can have access to, and we will get to some of the examples of how some companies are able to utilize that data, which don't cost that much, but they do have some cost, in order to really make better decisions. So moving on to the next slide, how does it work? Essentially, the idea of big data is to identifying such sources that would help us make such decisions, defining them and describing the pieces of data that actually help us, doing some cleansing and transformation, as well as integrating this data into a manageable source where we can do some analysis about it. And the analysis could be visually, or it could be just landed on a spreadsheet. And at the end of the day, it's the actual concept of analyzing the data and making the decisions that would really help our organization move forward. The question,
We just had a question come in, and maybe you're going to talk about this. Talk a little bit more about data cleansing. What does that mean?
Sure. Depending on where the data comes from, there could be a need for cleansing this data, meaning by transforming it into a standardized method of being able to analyze. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, we were given a task of doing some analysis, and part of the data analysis that we needed to do was accessing California's motor vehicle database. And in that, just for checking out the brand Toyota, the cars that are Toyota, we noticed that the database had Toyota spelled in four letters, TOYTTOYATYTA, as well as many different combinations. So part of the data cleansing factor for our job, in order to really be able to make better decisions, was to cleanse that data and standardize it so that at least for our analysis sake, we would know that all of these really translate to Toyota. And that's how we would go and make those decisions. So it's simply analyzing the quality of the data and making it better to the level that we could use it for our own analysis.
So if there are
no questions, the biggest question we always get asked is, can SMB take advantage of big data? Or is it something that's purely related to major Fortune 500 organizations? And the answer is 100% yes. SMB can definitely take advantage of big data. And depending on the type of business you have, there is a lot of data that are already sitting within your databases that can certainly help in defining some of the problems that you could solve utilizing the data. And all you need to do is really grab onto it, analyze it, and release its definite power. So there are a few different types that you can take advantage of big data within your organizations, and there are some specific problems that could be solved. One of those is customer targeting. We see that happen a lot more these days, and it's one of the major ways that we're seeing data within the organization used. So the best case scenario in customer targeting is to really identify the best customer profile. And also on the reverse side of that, identifying the worst customer profiles for your organization. And for organizations that have been in business for a while, they do have that information sitting right in their databases. And depending on the type of products or services that you offer, you might even have multiple categories of best and worst type of customer profile. So what would that do by identifying that? If we identify our best client and we identify our worst client, we can certainly develop new products and services that could focus on our best clients and also identify the worst clients and just next time not to bring them on because we know the type of situation that they will bring. So we will develop better products, we develop better marketing plans, we develop better sales training in order to bring the real type of customer profile that we would like to bring in to our organizations. We also would be able to identify and increase the lifetime value of the customer for our organization. So by analyzing our customer purchase patterns within the time frame, a certain time frame, we would be able to definitely identify the LTV, the lifetime value of a customer, and work on product services and customer service to really increase the length of that service and also the width of their purchasing amount that they do on average, which it is one of the easiest way for us to increase revenues for the company and increase loyalty for our organization. Yes, sir.
When organizations, and I don't know how many organizations actually do this, when they calculate the lifetime value of a customer and they understand that because they've used their data, they've got it down, does that give a different vantage point to the company of how they're onboarding or searching for the right customer because of that number is a lot bigger than just the moment?
Yes, it does make a lot of difference. So it's actually very good to utilize an example right now. So let's assume that you have a company that the average client stays there for 5 years and they spend $100,000 a year on products and services. Therefore, the lifetime value of a customer at this moment is $500,000. One of the things that the company could do by analyzing the purchase pattern might be to realize that they can offer services or products that would increase the annual purchase amount by 10% and increase the length that the customer is their customer by another 2 years. So right now, if that's the case, we have a customer, we have our average customer that stays there for 7 years and spends $110,000 a year. That's $770,000 total in lifetime value for that customer, and that's a 54% increase on our revenues just by making sure that we offer better goods and services to our current customers. And as we all know, it's very much harder to get new customers than to maintain our existing ones. So that would allow us to really get 50% more revenue from customers that we already have.
I know it's amazing when you work with clients that you're able to hone in on specific areas that can that give it take people, the organizations, to a whole different vantage point of seeing what they have and how that converts over into dollars and how to then plan out further for their marketing and sales planning. It's amazing because I've seen you do it.
It's really amazing, and it changes the whole way the organization looks at it, from marketing to sales to customer service, because everybody's really gathered around extending that lifetime value for that particular customer. There is a quote that I have from Angela Arendt, CEO of Burberry, and she's essentially saying that consumer data is the differentiator that they see coming forward in the future. And the analysis of the type of customers that they go for makes all the difference in the way they plan to go forward. Another example that big data could help in any size company is really better hire. Essentially, making sure that we choose the right person for the right job and we incentivize our existing employees better in order to really support them. A great example is what Lighthouse Consulting does. They have, through part of what they do, is to really conduct testing to make sure a right employee is fit for the right type of job, whether it's a sales job or a customer service job. And that relies on a long-time data and algorithm that has been created since, if I'm correct, since 1940s.
That's correct. It's a huge database.
There is a huge database that is continuously enhanced and continuously improved, and algorithms are continuously changed. That would help help organizations really go forward. There are a couple of examples that I have that I have used in the past. An example of that is that the casino operator, Caesars, wanted to know, this is a problem that they wanted to know, how much they should pay a prized employee in order to really keep them from jumping ship. When they did big data analysis and they did their homework and analytics, they actually realized that they only had to pay about 10% above the median for the pay grade. It wasn't all about money, but it was more about recognition. And that made all the difference for them because they were able to come up with employee incentive programs that were just not related about money. And Xerox found that a lot of the call center workers were quitting very soon after they were being trained, where big data analysis showed them that the experience had nothing to do with what they were doing. They were hiring based on the candidate's resume, and they really had to switch stuff to personality tests. And that made all the difference into the type of the hiring that they wanted to perform. Another example that I've seen really work well within organizations is competitive advantage and the ability for clients, our clients, to really make faster decisions or explore new markets. Or really, we have seen in the work that they have made changing corporate strategies, and I will give an example right now. I would like to use an example of a real estate company that we work with here in Los Angeles. And this real estate company has developed algorithms to be able to find the best type of homes. They're into essentially buying homes, renovating them, and then selling them. And they access massive data that is available in the market, and they're able to really find the best homes that are available for sale on that day and really go in and bid on them and win, not only win the bid, but also make the margins that they would like to make as part of this transaction. And that's just by relying on the data that's really available around them. Another example to use is how, again, I'll go back to a casino operator. Harrah's Casinos, they did a number of analysis around their customer target. And as they realized was that the best customers were really not the big spenders or what they call the whales. Their big customers were 60-plus-year-old retired women. And what that discovery did, that they would be happy, these women would be happy to come in by getting coupons for maybe a buffet, maybe a very much of a discount on overnight stay at a hotel. And that changed the corporate strategy for Harrah's. As opposed to going and building mega resorts, they started building a number of local casinos that are within an hour or two of distance from metropolitan areas. And they created bus services that would get people from a variety of locations within these areas and drive them to casinos, and at night would drive them back. And this became the biggest money-making move that Harrah's did, and they have done really well for themselves utilizing that. There's actually a book just out, came in last week, associated with this type of an approach. The last example here is the example of cost reduction and the ability for organizations to reduce payment and do some payment recovery and increase efficiency. And also, cost also has something to do with theft and the ability to find the patterns associated with really loss of products or data. A great example is example of one of our clients that we've worked with in a utility firm here in California that they were able to analyze customers that they have left a particular property and they had gone to another property and signed in with them and really transferred the debt that that customer had and had just come in with a new location from the old account into the new account. And that recovered multi-millions of dollars for them on annual basis. And another example is the example of a hospital chain that were able to analyze the cost associated with spending money on marketing, and they were able to realize that marketing really needed to be limited to a certain area by doing analysis, that they weren't getting that return on investment past, I think it was a 4.5 miles area of the hospital, and therefore they were able to save multi-million dollars associated with the cost on annual basis. And also the same company, the same hospital and healthcare company was able to create algorithms that identified invoices that were not correctly billed to the customer. And by that, they were able to also regain and recover some of the lost revenues that were in multiple millions of dollars as well. There are a number of myths associated with big data that we would like to talk to you about and really find the truth and reality around it and provide you with the information that could help you really make better decisions for your organization. Number one is that big data is about big data, and you must have access to massive amounts of data to really take advantage of it. To me, that is not correct. We have worked with a lot of clients that they don't deal with large amounts of data. Their data is really sitting at their QuickBooks. And they have been able to really change and make better decisions just based on the data that they have. So to us, it is not about the size of the data. It's about the relevance and access to the right data. The next myth is that big data is purely for big companies only. And that's not true. We have seen small organizations take advantage of big data, and we have certainly seen medium-sized organizations and large organizations take advantage of it. But the data is really available for a number of organizations. Give you an example here. We worked with an internet clothing company. They're not that big. And for us, the ability to really access a set of targeted customers and really identify what was it that they were looking for, we found that they could have access, and we did just for California, they had access to 4.5 million people, specifically women of a certain age and certain type of income that they wanted to target, that was open to them, that they had never thought they could access. The next example, is about big data costing too much. The reality is that big data could cost too much, and there are a number of big data projects that would fail. I will talk about that in a second. But it doesn't have to. If it is managed correctly and if it is done appropriately, the ROI really would exceed the investment. And therefore, by just some simple planning and business ideas, you would be able to keep the cost at bay.
Majid, do you have any examples for smaller businesses that have 50, 100, 150 employees or so, how they can apply using big data into their organization?
Yes, there are actually several areas that come immediately to mind. And I will talk about that in a second as we go through the big data strategy.
Okay, great.
And I will use that exact example. So let's say that you would like to explore big data and you would like to really jump in and take advantage of the data that is sitting within your databases or outside of your environment. What should your strategy be? How should you go towards doing that? This is the way I recommend moving forward. Number one, let's start with a business goal. Let's start thinking that what is the problem that you would like to solve. If you would like to have better marketing, if you would like to find better customers, if you would like to access the better customer profiles, define that. And really identify the business case and the best case scenario of how you would be able to go forward and utilize it. And really jump in from there. So let me use the example that actually one of our clients did use. And small business, there are about 100 people in the company. Revenues are about $20 million. And we were having a conversation about how to identify new products and what kind of new products that we wanted to provide. And I asked the question of who are the target customers, and we did not get straight answers. So I suggested that we go to the databases and take a look at really what the pattern has been in the past. By analyzing different customer profiles that started a brand new digital product for the organization, a new marketing campaign for the organization, changed the whole sales format, changed the way that they were looking about going to market associated with that particular product and its next generation. And they were able to really go after the right customers associated with that particular product, which increased their revenues tremendously. So if they had gone in and they had just jumped into building a new product within any kind of analysis, chances would have been that they might have failed in the right approach. But the fact that there was some data backing them up, they were able to really find the right strategy for the product, for marketing, for sales, and essentially for future path for that particular product. I hope I answered your question and the example that
Thank you. That's really great. Then
the next level that we will go after the problem has been identified is we try to find relevant data. And this relevant data, at the beginning, I would suggest analyzing it within your databases, taking a look at, because you have been in business and you've been doing this for a certain amount of time, and the data already exists within the software that you use. So the ability for you to analyze that data would be tremendous. There is also potential data that could fit outside of your organization. So just identify the sources and do some basic analysis and identify what are those costs associated with accessing that data. The next, and this is the part that we really, really must emphasize on, and that is to crawl, walk, and run. Really take a small project. And don't go for a project that's going to take 3 to 6 years to implement. Really take a very, very small project, deliver it, and build on the successes of that particular project. Otherwise, scope creep and really the parameters that will show up could hinder the success of that particular project. And a lot of times with IT department, we see the battle between building it in-house or buying a product that will help it. And it really doesn't have to be that way. There are ways to go about doing that. But before spending money, and I will get to that in a second on technology and buying new technology, I really want to crawl. I want us to fail. I want to see the failures in this kind of areas because since we are not spending money, that means we are iteratively learning better about the data, about the technology, about our level of knowledge and level of confidence within the organization in order to deliver the right results. So that is extremely important. And we've seen a number of organizations that jump into the technology. So the minute big data comes up, they jump out and spend thousands of dollars onto technology. Don't do that. Start with business. Identify what your business gains are. Identify what you really want to get out of this particular project and incrementally build your technology around that particular area. And just don't get caught up on the technology. Technology is continuously changing, and you just want to make sure that you keep your focus on the business end of this conversation. And certainly last but not the least is managing costs. Costs could really, really get out of hand really, really quick associated with hardware, software, tools and products, analytical tools, developers, consultants, architects. And you just want to make sure that you keep a tight grip on the budget associated with the project. You want to make sure that you have continuous deliverables and successes. And really go for small, reachable fruit at hand, as opposed to a very, and keep, while keeping the long-term ideas and goals really within your grasp as well. And that brings me to the conclusion of this particular slide. So I would like to summarize and essentially say that we are all sitting on great amount of information that could help us make better decisions. The size of business really doesn't matter. The size of data doesn't matter. And the information is really available both internally and externally to take advantage of it. Don't jump into big data because it is the current buzzword. Jump in because there is a business problem that you would like to solve. And you want better information in order to get better decisions. And certainly, crawl, walk, run. Start small. And as you get better at it, then expand the scope and expand the scope and bring in new scopes into that. But that would allow you to find out some of the data sources that you already have in your organization, some of the cleansing and integration issues that you need to deal with, some of the technology issues that you need to consider, and that would allow for better successes down the line if you take that methodology. Having said that, I am done with my presentation, and I'm hoping that I would be able to answer some of your questions that you might have.
This is phenomenal. Oh, my goodness. If everyone can please hold the line, I'm going to open up the line in just about a minute. I just want to close this section down of our program. For our next program coming up in October, it's going to be on cash balance plans, beyond the 401k, enhance your retirement program and reduce your tax burdens. You can sign up today. Dan Kravitz, the CEO of Kravitz, will be our guest that day. If you have other people that you would like to attend future programs, fellow staff members or colleagues, please sign up for Open Line. We'll also be sending a recording and PowerPoint for today's program, and you can please feel free to share that within your organization and within your association. Majid and I want to thank you for your time today. I want to close this down and turn off the recording feature, and then we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with Majid. If you'd like more information on the services from Lighthouse Consulting Services, you can email me as indicated on your screen. And also, if you want to talk to Majid and have some one-to-one time or talk a little bit further about the topic or what your organization could how could utilize this information, or for associations also, please feel free to contact Majid as indicated on the screen. I want to thank you all for attending. Hold the line for 1 second, and we'll be right back.